Hello, knowledge seekers. In this episode of 20 Minute Books, we delve into The Way We Eat Now, a thought-provoking exploration of our modern global food landscape. Published in 2019, this work by esteemed food historian and writer B. Wilson examines the evolution of eating habits from times of scarcity to an era where abundance creates paradoxical nutritional challenges. Wilson, whose insightful food writing has graced the pages of the London Review of Books and The Guardian, employs her award-winning expertise to dissect contemporary food phenomena. These include the rise of veganism, the curious world of meal replacements, and the popularity of eating patterns like intermittent fasting. She not only reflects on current trends, but also peers into the future, pondering our next transformative shifts in gastronomic habits. Awarded as the Food Writer of the Year by prestigious institutions such as Fortnum and Mason and BBC Radio 4, Wilson brings a wealth of knowledge to the table. Her previous celebrated works include First Bite and This Is Not a Diet Book, cementing her as an authoritative voice in the culinary realm. The Way We Eat Now is an essential listen for foodies who revel in the cultural aspects of cuisine, anthropology students eager to understand societal food movements, and anyone who feels adrift in the sea of ever-changing dietary advice. Join us as we digest the rich content of Wilson's research and savor the insights that it brings to our daily bread. The Way We Eat Now: How the Food Revolution Has Transformed Our Lives, Our Bodies, and Our World. Introduction: Discover how our plates have transformed and what it means for our health. Imagine a world where dinner meant chasing down a wild boar or plucking fresh berries off a bush. This was once everyday reality. Our ancestors, tuned to the rhythms of nature, ate what the earth provided. Fast forward to the present, and food is a complex global enterprise. Today, sourcing ingredients from across the planet for a single meal is a mundane miracle that our forebears would gape at. Yet, this progress raises critical alarms about our well-being and the planetary toll of our appetites. In The Way We Eat Now, B. Wilson serves up a delectable insight into how recent seismic shifts in food availability, production and consumption patterns are shaping our bodies and the environment. As we journey through this narrative, we peel back the layers of our intricate food system and confront the paradoxes of plenty, the coexistence of malnutrition with overeating, the controversies of superfoods, and the hidden costs lurking in our convenience-fueled diets. Sink your teeth into the following morsels of knowledge. You'll understand the caloric avalanche pouring from American beverages. You'll learn the surprising truth behind the supposed health elixir, pomegranate juice. And you'll discover the blend of science and sustenance that concocts a meal replacement drink. Join us at the table as we digest the bountiful, yet problematic, world of modern nutrition. Part 1: The Scales Tip Towards Overabundance as the World Grapples with Dietary Dichotomies. In a dramatic tipping of the scales in 2006, we witnessed a historic paradox. Our planet had more people battling the bulge than those who were hungry. This shift marks a new era of food abundance, one where empty plates are less of a concern than plates overflowing with the wrong kind of sustenance. Pondering a healthy diet is no longer as simple as aiming for five a day or an apple's crunch. Take a look at a 2015 study canvassing the diets of nearly 90% of adults worldwide. Fruit intake grew modestly by 5.3 grams daily since 1990. However, jarring statistics reveal a simultaneous surge in global cravings for sugary beverages, processed meat, and trans-fat-laden fare, with a consequent rise in obesity and diet-related diseases. The narrative of our dietary evolution is best understood in four stages. The inaugural stage harkens back to the hunter-gatherer epoch, where our plates were a verdant array of wild fruits and veggies, supplemented by game and fish. Fast forward to 20,000 BCE, and agriculture's dawn heralds stage two. Here, our diets narrow as we latch onto staple crops like rice and wheat, settling into communities but exposing ourselves to the whims of weather. The third act unfolds in the 1800s, featuring agricultural advances like fertilization and crop rotation. These innovations grant us a reprieve from famine's shadows and diversify our diets once more. However, post-World War II ushers in the stage of plenty, with Western nations industrializing agriculture, buoyed by hefty subsidies. The result? A tripling of staple crop production from 1950 to 1990. Yet, amidst this plenty, a few multinational giants have hijacked both food production and distribution, concocting a profitable concoction of processed foods brimming with sweeteners, artificial flavors, and additives with enigmatic names like crispening agents. By 2019, these purveyors of processed provisions raked in 15.5 cents for every food dollar in the United States, eclipsing the farmer's share of just 10.5 cents. This disparity underscores the profits prioritized in our current food narrative, a tale of abundance overshadowed by an imbalance of diet and health. Part 2. The rapid evolution of our diets isn't keeping pace with our biology. Traditions evolve, including those in the kitchen. Grandma's cherished recipes may now linger mostly in our memories rather than on our dining tables. It's not merely nostalgia that makes these food traditions significant. It's the health implications tied to the dramatic shifts in our eating patterns that really cause concern. To illustrate the impact of such sudden dietary changes, let's voyage to India. During the 1990s, when an unexpected surge in type 2 diabetes emerged, these cases were perplexing, not only because of the sheer volume, but also because they defied typical risk profiles. Many patients were neither elderly nor overweight. Enter the scene, Dr. Chittaranjan Yajnik, with a revealing study comparing newborns from rural Indian villages to those from Southampton, England. The findings were stark. Indian babies, though lighter and leaner, carried more body fat concentrated around their midsections. These were the thin fat babies, as Yajnik termed them. Yajnik's hypothesis for this conundrum centered on dietary transitions. Mothers in rural India, who had grown up in an era of want, bore children with bodies optimized for scarcity, bodies unprepared for the subsequent influx of food that foreign aid and baby food brought with it. This generational twist made these infants prone to type 2 diabetes in a world where food was no longer scarce. Fast forward to the US in 2010. Americans gulped down an average of 450 calories daily from liquids alone, a staggering climb from the 1965 calories. It's akin to drinking an entire meal. Most don't realize that every sip of juice or soda, barring water, is a sip of calories which, unlike solid foods, doesn't lead to the same feeling of satiety. Our understanding of how the body metabolizes liquid calories versus solids remains incomplete. But one thing is clear from the research: increased fluid intake doesn't usually trigger an equivalent decrease in food consumption. Essentially, our intake of calories and sugars just keeps rising. Between cultural shifts and biological inertia, our bodies remain ill-equipped for today's dietary deluge, struggling against a tide of new challenges manifesting from the glasses we raise to the foods we feast upon. Part 3. From field to factory, the impact of processing on our daily bread. There was a time when our choices of what to eat were met with a simple nod or vigorous headshake. As adults, our preferences shape our meals, but our influence seldom extends to the intricate workings of the global food industry. Within this grand mechanism, ultra-processed foods have secured a dominant place at our tables. By 2019, over half of the calories consumed in the United States were attributed to such products. Even countries receiving U.S. aid find these resources pouring into the manufacturing of processed foods, driving a concerning trend. A major culprit in the health debate around processed goods is the pervasive use of cheap, high-calorie vegetable oils. While you might presume sugar to be the primary source of excess calories, in reality, it's oils like soy oil that have swelled the most. Its production skyrocketed by 320% from 1962 to 2009. Today, this oil is a staple in everything from sweetened drinks to beloved instant noodles. This shift has consequences. As processed food has become more accessible and cheaper, fresh produce has scaled the other way. In the UK, between 1997 and 2009, the cost of snacks and fast foods dropped by 15%, yet fruits and vegetables saw a 7% price increase. Globally, growing affluence has whetted appetites for processed meats, changing the food landscape. Even in societies where meat was historically a luxury, it is processed meat that garners favor over traditional staples like bread, rice, and potatoes, once incomes allow for it. We see the evidence in the UK, where bread consumption plummeted by 50% between 1880 and 1975. And on a larger scale, the availability of chicken doubled worldwide from the 1970s to present. However, access to healthier, sustainable choices such as fresh vegetables, vegan yogurt, and mixed seeds remains locked behind income levels. Until this nexus is dismantled, processed meats, replete with additives and removed from their wholesome origins, remain an aspirational yet problematic dietary mainstay. Part 4. The Solitary Snacker. How our eating habits have shifted from communal to alone. Once upon an early 20th century time in German Westphalia, textile workers, despite grueling 54-hour work weeks, cherished their communal meals, luxuriating in lunch breaks that stretched up to an hour and a half. Contrast that with today's rushed, solitary refueling. Our dining rituals have evolved, and not necessarily for the better. The value of shared meals is more than gastronomic. It's the communal heartbeat, a moment of connection and synchrony amidst the bustle of life. Yet, the contemporary world dines differently, with many opting for solitude over company, gobbling down a meal at a desk corner or during the daily commute. Fast food, easily consumed and disposed of, has become the staple for many. It may come as a surprise that those within the caretaking realm, such as night shift nurses, are often culprits of poor eating habits due to their hectic schedules, with many U.S. nurses in 2008 tipping the scales into the overweight category with an average body mass index of 27.2. Spain, once the bastion of the leisurely siesta, saw its cherished tradition halved post-financial crisis of 2008 to match the global norm of a one-hour break. In such a rushed environment, it's snacks, not balanced meals, that come to the rescue. They now compose a third of the daily caloric intake of an average American. Snacks are booming businesses, as seen in China's transformation from a snack-indifferent society to a $7 billion market between 2004 and 2015. Economically, snacks are a lifeline for low-income families, doubling as both affordable sustenance and a pocket-friendly delight for children. It's not just the occasional treat. For American children in 2010, snack foods delivered an astonishing 37% of their daily energy, but fell terribly short on essential micronutrients, offering merely 15 to 30% of their daily needs. This underscores a pressing need, shifting the nutrition landscape to make well-rounded meals both tempting and accessible, rather than the fallback option against a backdrop of quick bites and solitary eating. Part 5. Navigating the ripple effects and deceptions of the latest food fashions. Ah, the allure of food trends, where avocado-laden dishes and crispy kale tickle the taste buds of the adventurous. But when it comes to global food trends, they're more than a passing culinary crush. They can cause waves that resonate across continents. Quinoa, the gluten-free and protein-rich darling of the health-conscious, epitomizes such a trend. Its production and consumption have exploded, and nowhere is this more evident than in Peru and Bolivia. In Bolivia alone, the price for quinoa surged from $28.40 to a whopping $204.50 per 100 kilos, putting the staple out of reach for many of the local communities that have relied on it for generations. As a result, cheaper yet less nutritious options like instant noodles fill the void left in Bolivian diets. However, not all trends are as innocent as they seem. the American pomegranate juice craze between 2004 and 2008, demonstrates how the thirst for health benefits can be exploited. As claims of potent antioxidant qualities propelled sales, questions arose about the authenticity of 100% pure pomegranate beverages flooding the market. According to Professor Chris Elliott from Queen's University Belfast, considering the time it takes to grow the fruit, the rapid market supply was simply too good to be true. Indeed, it was revealed that many producers were cutting corners, diluting the promised pomegranate purity with cheaper juices, all while cleverly obfuscating their tracks. Coconut products are Elliott's latest watch. With supermarket shelves bending under the weight of coconut waters and yogurts, he questions whether the supply can genuinely meet this new demand, as coconut palms take a decade to come to fruition. Each food trend unwraps a complex story of supply chains, economic impacts, and sometimes, outright deception. Difficult questions must be asked about how trends shift what's harvested in distant fields and what ultimately arrives on our plate, challenging us to look beyond the hashtags and marketing hype. Part 6. Eat, Pay, Love. The hidden toll of restaurant meals and supermarket aisles. In today's frenetic world, home-cooked meals are frequently swapped for the convenience of dining out, with Americans spending around half of their food budget on restaurants. While eating out can be delightful, this shift toward restaurant reliance comes with more than a financial burden. It carries serious nutritional consequences as well. Eating at restaurants often leads to a more indulgent approach, with menus cleverly crafted to cater to our cravings for sugar and fat. Fast food chains in particular are notorious for offering menu items dense in calories but poor in essential nutrients like fiber and vitamins. Several studies have drawn a direct line between fast food and a variety of health issues, including type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, and heart disease. In a revealing study, Columbia University economist Janet Curry discovered that the proximity of fast food outlets to schools can increase obesity rates among children by over 5%. Our shopping habits have also been transformed by the rise of supermarkets, vast emporiums of choice boasting some 50,000 products that prioritize variety and convenience over nutritional value. The modern supermarket experience is a far cry from traditional markets, where every choice often came with the subtle oversight of fellow shoppers and local vendors. That steely gaze of the local grocer may have once discouraged the overzealous purchase of sweet and unhealthy items, suggesting that a little community scrutiny might not have been such a bad thing for our dietary choices. While we navigate the distractions of tempting restaurant specials and cereal aisles in supermarkets, we should remember that not everyone has this array of choices. In Britain, the use of food banks dramatically increased from 70,000 individuals in 2011 to 347,000 in 2013. It's a stark reminder that, despite the facade of plenty, many people face severely limited options, struggling with the very basics of food security. Part 7. The Dilemma of Abundance. Choosing wisely in a world of endless food options. In the vast food landscape of today, where endless aisles and menus dazzle our senses, one wonders, when faced with multitude, do we bask in the glory of choice or do we flounder? Indeed, having too many options can be overwhelming, and psychologist Barry Schwartz termed this the paradox of choice, where a surfeit of choices can lead to dissatisfaction rather than delight. The modern food arena offers a classic example of this paradox. With endless edible options, the art of making nourishing choices becomes ever more complex. One strategy that has gained popularity is setting dietary boundaries. Vegetarianism and veganism are notable examples, with their proponents in the United Kingdom seeing considerable growth in recent years. The author, though not a strict vegetarian, endorses the idea of reducing meat consumption as a sensible way to navigate the bounty before us. Making vegetables the main act of a meal almost guarantees a diet rich in nutrients and opens up a world of flavorful, healthy preparations. Meanwhile, some modern eaters, are simplifying their dilemma of choice with meal replacement shakes. Packed with a balanced ratio of vitamins, minerals, and macronutrients, these powdered concoctions claim to offer the full benefits of a meal in one simple drink. 1 million consumers embraced this trend in 2016, drawn to the promise of a quick, cost-effective, and nutritionally complete solution for on-the-go dining. But does mixing up a shake truly satisfy like a well-crafted meal can? The answer to that may lie in the balance between our need for efficiency and the intangible pleasures that come from a thoughtfully prepared plate of food. Part 8. From Dust-Covered to Well-Loved. The Evolving Landscape of Home Cooking. In the hustle of modern life, where takeout and quick bites seem to reign, you might imagine home kitchens to be quiet, unused spaces with shiny, untouched cookware. But the reality is quite the contrary. A growing number of home chefs are firing up their stoves and embracing the culinary arts, reshaping the domestic cooking scene. Historically, the kitchen was often pigeonholed as a woman's sphere, but times are changing. Between 1965 and 2007, American women's average time spent cooking declined from nearly 2 hours to just over an hour per day. Men, on the other hand, are donning aprons with increasing frequency, with their kitchen endeavors rising on average from 37 to 45 minutes daily. The warmth toward the kitchen is catching on. A 2017 survey revealed that 45% of Americans actually enjoy cooking and regularly practice it at home, up from 35% in 2002. One factor fueling this culinary revival is the availability of inventive and convenient cooking options, such as the meal kit revolution. With precisely portioned ingredients and step-by-step recipes delivered right to your door, these kits unveil a world of home cooking that blends convenience with the joy of preparing a meal. This breakthrough has simmered into a vibrant $5 billion industry in the United States alone. Meanwhile, the surge of advanced kitchen gadgets like the Bimby offers an array of functionalities in a single device, from chopping and weighing to whipping up smoothies and comforting risottos. It's a tantalizing prospect for any cooking enthusiast. In Italy, the Bimby's allure is so strong that it has found a place in one of every 30 households. With these innovative tools and services at hand, excuses for not cooking at home might seem scant. However, there's still a significant barrier: cost. The Bimby's hefty price of $1,000, alongside the premium charged by meal kit services, means that for many, these enticing options remain just beyond reach. Access to affordable ingredients and tools is crucial if we wish to keep the home cooking flames burning bright for all, regardless of their financial means. Part 9. Toward a Nourishing Future: How Collective Action Can Shape the Next Culinary Epoch. As we've explored the shifting tides of our edible journey thus far, the emerging question is, what does the fifth stage of our food history hold? The previous stage has delivered us a paradoxical cornucopia, brimming with choice yet marred by health crises. To navigate toward a hopeful next stage, it will take the combined efforts of responsive governments and passionate individuals. Chile presents a pioneering case study in national food policy. As the leading consumer of sugary beverages, and facing a grim statistics where 2/3 of adults battled with weight, the government took decisive action. A forceful 18% tax on sugary sodas, coupled with a ban on whimsical marketing gimmicks aimed at children, set the stage for change. Striking labels warned consumers of high sugar content, assisting 40% of Chileans in making informed choices. The results have rippled back to manufacturers, with giants like Coca-Cola shifting their focus toward healthier options. Grassroots movements are equally pivotal in changing the culinary landscape. Peas Please, initiated by Anna Taylor in 2016, sprouted with the mission to promote vegetable consumption in Britain. Highlighting the advertising disparity, a modest £12 million bankrolling veggie adverts versus the £87 million pouring into soda promotions in 2015, Peas Please has funneled newfound resources into veg-centric campaigns. Beyond the ad wars, the initiative has woven alliances with market heavyweights, persuading Greggs, a budget-friendly cafe network, to pledge a 15 million portion increase in vegetable sales over 2 years. As we stand on the brink of this nascent stage, the hope for a healthier, more ethically sound approach to food hinges on the willingness of governments to legislate wisely and for community champions like Taylor to ignite change from the ground up. Together, their efforts can make the most bountiful chapter in our food history one that nourishes bodies and the planet alike. Final summary. The culinary landscape we navigate today is one of striking contrasts. We live amidst unparalleled food variety, a far cry from the simpler, more locally focused diets of yesteryear. Our meals have shifted from shared social experiences to often solitary, convenience-driven acts fueled by the pace of modern life. Snacking and eating out have become the norms, sidelining the tradition of gathering around the family table. Amidst this environment, our stomachs grapple with the consequences. The abundance on offer has a dark side, manifesting in increased rates of obesity, diabetes, and other diet-related health issues. Yet, glimmers of hope shine through, with movements towards more home cooking and the emergence of meal alternatives designed to fit our hectic schedules. The onus of progress and change, however, doesn't rest solely on individual choices. A healthier future for our diets calls for a collective effort. Governments have a role to play in implementing policies that encourage better food choices, while community-driven initiatives can champion the virtues of wholesome eating. Through such collaborative endeavors, we can usher in a new era of food that puts health and sustainability at its heart, crafting a narrative in which abundance and well-being go hand in hand. Thank you for joining me today on this journey of learning and discovery as we explored the insights of another thought-provoking book in our growing library of knowledge. If you've enjoyed our time together, please take a moment to follow our podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and share 20-minute books with other knowledge seekers. Your support truly means a lot. Don't forget to join me again in the next episode, where we will delve into another enriching book. Until then, happy reading and happy listening.